Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hey there, hey there, hey there, friends. Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. That's me. And today we are back into the swing of things, the regular, typical podcast where I actually interview human beings, spirit beings, change makers, instead of you just listening to me talk the whole time. So now you get some entertainment that isn't me. So I'm sure that that will be a welcome change. So come on in, guys. Say hello. Let me know that you can hear me okay, that you can see me okay. Today, we are going to be talking about empaths. I know a lot of you are here because we attract our similar kind. So we're going to be talking about empaths with Alicia McBride. So come on in, say hello. Let's see that you're here. Hey, Chanel, Janelle, Charlotte, Pam, Jay, Donna, Angelina, Matt, good to see you. Hey, Deb. Hi, Sarada. Good to see you, friends. All right. So I am going to bring on Alicia McBride, and we're going to have a convo about being an empath and how that all goes. Some of you already know this, but let's go. All right. So hello, Alicia.
Hi.
Great to see you, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so first off, I want to read your bio so everybody knows a little bit about you and why you're here to talk to us today, okay?
Sounds good.
Awesome. Okay, so Alicia is a creative, clairvoyant empath who loves empowering people to heal themselves, writing books, and being a mom to two energetic boys. Boy, do I know that one. She lives in southeastern Pennsylvania, enjoys dancing, digital painting, and wearing PJs in public. Alicia has degrees in psychology and interior design, is a certified yoga instructor, Reiki master, international best-selling author, and has gone through a spiritual awakening. Does it ever end? Nope, it sure does not. Her eclectic background continues to inspire her to help others through creative outlets such as writing books and energy healing. Awesome. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Hi.
So you have a couple of energetic boys. How old are they now?
They are 3 and 5.
Oh, wow. So they're little boys. That's even more energetic than what I'm used to energetic. Woo! Good for you. Well, thanks for creating the space because yes. Did you have to put down for a nap or did you lock them in the closet or what?
No, they're in school today. They're in preschool.
Oh, okay. Perfect. That's great. I didn't know some places aren't having school anymore. So
oh my gosh, I need them to be in a little bit of school.
Uh-huh. I have said that, Alicia. I have said if my kids are 31 almost and 23. And I've said, if my kids were little at this time when they couldn't go to school, we wouldn't survive. Like I would have had to ship them somewhere because I wouldn't have made it, would not have made it. So I understand that preschool that's a great blessing for you. So I'm so glad it's still going on there.
Yeah, it is a lifesaver.
Awesome. All right, my friend. So you wrote a book called I Feel Too Much, a how-to guide for the beginner empath. And of course, I love anything to do with talking about our sensitivities and our connection to spirit. And although, you know, to me, empath is absolutely a blessing. It doesn't usually start out feeling that way. So can you just give us a little bit about your history, your experience, and that spiritual awakening that kind of brought you into this place. And so people know a little bit about how you got here today.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know. I think I was in the same boat that a lot of people are now that, you know, where you start out is you don't know. You have no idea you're taking on other people's energies. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're doing. And then it was a few years ago now. I went through a spiritual awakening, and it was fast. Like, everything hit me all at the same time. I found the word empath, and oh my gosh, that just finding the word, seeing the word right there and knowing it, I was like, that's me. That explains my entire life.
It's like, oh, the light bulbs, the clicks, everything connects. Oh, the angels sing.
Yes.
I hear you.
Oh, gosh, it was life-changing. And, you know, some people don't like the word, you know, like labels. And I'm like, I love this. Like, this is amazing. It defines me to a T. Like, this is crazy. And then shortly after that, so many other things started happening. I learned the word narcissist. Mm. I learned the words emotional abuse. I had no idea that was a thing. I realized my situation maybe wasn't the best and the healthiest of situations. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, like, there was that portion. And then on top of that, I had, I think a lot of empaths often have like psychic gifts, extra gifts. And I had seen bits and pieces of those all throughout my life, but oh my gosh, they hit me all at the same time. all at once. I thought I was going crazy. I was seeing spirits. I was seeing, you know, spirits of living and deceased people and animals. It was nuts. It was very overwhelming. I kind of thought I was crazy.
That happens a lot. The people literally feel like, okay, I'm losing my mind. Like, something is really seriously wrong because it's so different from the way you've been living before.
Yeah. And then I started talking to my friends about it. I lost some friends because they were like, no, thanks. And that's fine. I'm totally fine with that. This little world is not for everyone. And that is okay. I've since made new friends, more friends. And it's gotten a lot better. Once I was a little farther on the other side, you know, things calmed down a bit and it was a little more regular. And I read everything I possibly could read.
Yeah.
About empaths, about being an empath. And I was very happy to do that. And I found, you know, everything was kind of scattered and all over the place. Like, I took bits and pieces from here and I took it from here and from here. And what I wanted to do afterwards was I wanted to kind of consolidate all of that into a short how-to guide, like something to get you started. You know, when you find the word empath and you're like, oh my gosh, this is me. You have the light bulb moment and everything is happening. I wanted to help people right there. Mm-hmm. So take this how-to guide. And it's very clear. It's 7 clear steps on what to do when you figure it out. And so that's my little contribution to the world.
That's awesome, because it's for sure needed. And for anybody that's been in that place, you know, I had the awareness when I was 13. And at that time, which was a long time ago, and at that time, there was nothing written. There was no place to go. There were not people to discuss it with. There was not shows, podcasts, none of that existed. Right. So it's really valuable to be able to have a place. And I think a lot of people, you know, what I discovered nowadays is that there's so many people that are like, okay, well, so what happened? How did you have that awakening? So a lot of times it's a loss in life, right? It's a death of some sort. Or sometimes it's a loss in our bodies, a disease or diagnosis or something like that. That kind of is the catalyst for that. And it doesn't have to be those things, but oftentimes it is, because that's when we wake up, right? That's when we have the awakening. We wake up from kind of one life and we recognize there's so much more, and we move into kind of that next experience. So for you, do you mind sharing what that catalyst was for you? Because I think so many people can relate to that, or they're waiting for it to happen. And I'm like, you don't have to wait. You don't have to get sick. You don't have to have somebody die. Like, you can start it. But oftentimes that's how we work, is we wait for it to come.
You need a big traumatic event. So mine was the birth of my second son. I had after baby problems, and it was difficult in the very beginning with him, not with him, but for me. And it catapulted me. It sent me into this new world.
Yeah. And that happens. I mean, a lot of times children, in whatever form, whether it's the physical body and the recovery through the child, whether it's the child and their behaviors, whether it's their sensitivities, like a lot of times the way us as parents start to really open up and connect to another world is because of our kids. So that was a big, I had already opened up at 13, but that was a big transformation in my life, was after my first son was born also. So I totally understand that. Yeah. So what was the first, like, so when you saw Empath, you're like, oh my God, this defines me, and all the, you know, like I said, everything kind of happened. What was the thing that you're like, okay, I'm an empath. What was the thing that brought you ease or peace? Was it just knowing that you weren't on your own? Was it the feeling of like, okay, somebody gets me? Like, what was it for you?
For me, the biggest thing was being understood. Like, this is already a thing. There are other people out there who are experiencing the same thing that I was currently experiencing. And I'm not alone. And I was, for the first time in my life, completely understood, which was huge for me, because I think a lot of empaths are misunderstood. You know, we're labeled too sensitive. You know, I think, not to get into sensitive subjects, but I think bullying happens a lot to empaths. And I think we're just kind of easy targets. And, you know, we take it and roll it over, and, you know, we take it on.
Take it personal.
You take it inside of your body, and you'll hold it there, and it festers, and it just... and then you're told that you're too sensitive, so you stuff it down. Actually, I had a friend in high school, and we were talking about, you know, just having kind of general high school age drama problems. And I said, oh yeah, that's what I do. If I have a problem or if I have an issue, I just take it and stuff it down. It's fine. That's incredibly unhealthy. You should not be doing that.
That is how a lot of us were trained too. Not necessarily taught, take this stuff down, but witness through the people around us that, oh, something bad just happened, so go have a couple drinks, or eat the chocolate cake or the ice cream, or, you know, whatever it was. So a lot of that naturally was trained into us as well.
Yeah. You see it on TV, you see it in your home, you see it with your friends. So that's what I did. I took it all. And I stuffed it down. And that festers, it stays there. And obviously that's not healthy. And that's not where it's going to stay, because it comes out. It comes out as physical ailments. It comes out as emotional, like distress, anxiety, depression. It's not going to stay there. And then eventually when it does come out, you have to work through all of that.
Right. It has to go somewhere. And it just gets bigger, for sure. So what do you, like, out of any year I can ever remember, 2020 for empaths was like, I don't even know what to compare it to, but it was for sure practice in holding our own energy and maintaining our vibration, getting ourselves centered and grounded. So do you, and you had just kind of discovered that this was a thing for you. So do you, with the energy of last year, how have you helped support people in managing that energy?
So I think the first step in the book, and I think the most important thing that an empath can do, is to ground and protect your energy. You have to stop it from happening. You have to stop taking on other people's emotions and feelings. Because, I mean, last year, even right now, you can very easily tune into the energy of the world and feel it. Like, mm-hmm. it is heavy. It's awful. It's not pleasant. So I think if you're doing it by accident, or if you kind of know that it's happening, but you have trouble stopping it, I think grounding and protecting your energy is just, it's unbelievably important. It's necessary.
It is. Absolutely. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what tool do you use to ground yourself? Like, I know there's lots of different kinds of grounding. So of course, going out and earthing and using stones and visualization and things like that. So what is the exercise that you use personally?
So my favorite things are meditations and visualizations. For me personally, if I'm going to do it, I just close my eyes. I sit quietly. It doesn't have to be very long. You get really good at it after a while. And you just sort of, you know, send your energy down into the earth. You use either the visualization of roots or, etheric cords, or, you know, whatever you're drawn to. You wrap your energy around the earth's core, you pull it up, you bring it back. And then you can do like an energy clearing, you know, all over your body. And then, I would do like a some kind of protection, like a shield or a bubble or, you know, something to prevent the energy from just coming and going freely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's that common exercise of kind of grounding and visualizing the roots going down to the center of the earth and or coming back up through you and then connecting with your spirit and having the light energy of spirit. And for me, it's always been, as far as protection goes, has always been calling on Archangel Michael, because I've worked with the angels for since I was 13. But I think that whatever it is that you do, one of the challenges with empaths is that, and one of the reasons why it's so important to ground, is that we tend to not be in our bodies.
Yeah.
And to really like check out. We hear something, we get into a sad place, a heavy place. We don't want to feel the emotions because we're so tired of feeling everything. Then we just literally check out, and then whatever comes in just takes over, and we forget that, whoa, you're opening the door to all this heavy, dense energy. And that's not a good thing either.
Yeah. Like for me, a lot of the, you know, the yuck that I stuffed down, mm-hmm. It showed up as back pain. Mm-hmm. And who wants to be in a body that hurts all the time?
Right.
So I'm gone.
So go hang out with the angels, go spend time in meditation, just check out of life in the way that it's actually happening. And that's it feels more free because we don't know how to manage the energy that we're feeling.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you hang out up here, it's way more pleasant.
Right.
It's not not healthy to stay there.
But it isn't, because there's a reason. There's a reason, friends, that we came to have a spirit in a body. And it wasn't so we just escaped the body, because we could do that without ever being born. For sure. For sure.
You have to work through it.
Yeah, for sure. And it takes time. It takes time, and it's practice, and it's recognizing your own patterns and how you do it, why you do it, when it shows up, when you do it more, when you like are like, nope, I'm out. And being able to observe that so that you can learn how to then begin to start to embody the things that are happening in life. And that's not easy to do sometimes.
Takes patience.
It does. It does take patience. So let's see. So you have your book. And that's going to help people just when you're first figuring out that I'm an empath. Am I an empath? You've got a little beginnerempath.com. So if you can go to beginnerempath.com and you scroll to the bottom, you can subscribe to the newsletter and you get a copy of a PDF of Am I an Empath? And it's what, a little questionnaire type of thing?
Yeah, it's a, these are the signs of an empath. You know, could you be an empath? This is what it is.
So if somebody's watching right now and they're like, I don't really know, can you give us three or four different things that if this, then you are?
So for me, the biggest one for me is you just feel everything. you feel your emotions incredibly deeply. Like the depth of your feeling seems endless. And then you feel other people's emotions and physical pain. So like, it's the difference between empathy and being an empath. Empathy is when you feel for someone, mm-hmm. but when you're an empath, you actually feel their physical pain and their emotions as if it were yours. You know, you feel it inside of your body. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the two major, hey, this is me. I'm an empath. Yeah. You feel everything and you feel other people's pain and emotions.
Well, and likely if you've been called too sensitive, probably yep. an empath. Yep. If you're someone who always is the one to go and run to support everybody else and want to fix everything for anybody and want to, you know, be the one that helps everybody all the time because you don't like seeing people sad. The reason we don't like seeing people sad is because we don't want to be sad.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't want to feel your pain, so yeah. I'm going to fix you.
Right. So then I don't have to feel it.
Yeah. Exactly. That's also unhealthy. But
yeah. And it doesn't work. It's a waste of time. It doesn't work.
Because if the other person doesn't want to be fixed, you know, there's nothing you can do. And you're still, and then you're feeling it worse because then they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm fixing exactly. you.
You got it. Yeah. It doesn't work. And it's not going to change things. So absolutely critical, guys. So for somebody who has walked the journey and had the awareness and recognizes that now being an empath, as much as you've learned about it, is probably, you can probably see the gifts in it and you know, the connections and the more intuitive psychic abilities and all of those types of things. What would you say has been the greatest blessing from your ability to be an empath?
Oh, that's a good question. So I think a lot of people see being an empath at first as kind of a curse.
Yeah.
Because it's so sure. overwhelming. But I think, I mean, the thing that makes it feel like a curse, I think is the thing that is most, you know, that is most beneficial, and is that you already know, you know, your intuition is so deep and it's readily available to you, not only for your body, but for other people. So mm-hmm. I think it's kind of like a superpower. You can walk up to someone in the grocery store and they're, you know, you're chatting with them and they're probably telling you their life story because that's what happens.
That's a sign too, right there.
That's another sign. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, they're probably telling you their life story and you can relate to them. You can talk with them. You can give them a little piece of advice. You can help them through, you know, that moment mm-hmm. in the grocery store. And I think that's beautiful. You're connecting with other people, and you're helping them on their way. Mm-hmm. And I think another quality of being an empath is, you kind of want to heal the world. You want to save the world.
For sure.
And I think a lot of empaths feel that way. But to do that, I think you need to start with yourself. Mm-hmm. I have a little quote out there: "To heal the world, start with yourself." And if you can start healing yourself, then you can easily talk to others and easily help them without you getting overwhelmed and burnt out. Because mm-hmm. that's the end result. Is if you're constantly giving. You're burnt out and you're exhausted. You're depressed.
Right. And then you feel like it's a curse instead of the gift. It's right. Just which side of the fence are you on? And a lot of times it depends on the boundaries that you hold up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Empaths are not good with boundaries.
No.
So that's what we're meant to learn. It's learning how to have boundaries for sure.
Also a chapter in the book. One of the steps in the book.
Yeah, it has to be. I know. I haven't read the book, guys, but I'm like, I've lived this life as many of you have. So you probably know pieces of it, but do you know what to do with it? Do you know how to move through it? So if you don't, then go grab the book. Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you some off the cuff questions.
Go for it.
Okay. All right. So first thing is, What was your first job?
Oh, my first job was at Strawbridge and Clothier in the mall.
Oh, nice.
Retail sales associate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you spend your checks on the clothes at the store? That's what I always wonder from people that work in clothes.
I was 17.
Yeah, you have to, right?
Of course I did.
Yeah. See, now if you have fast food, my parents had fast food restaurants. So I ran fast food restaurant and you don't have to spend your money because you don't, I could eat for free. So I got to actually have money. And I always thought if I was at a clothing store, I would not have a paycheck. Just wouldn't happen. No way. No way.
I had enough to go to the movies and have some fun though.
Yes. Good, 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 good. Okay. So do you have one item that you've bought over the past year that's under $100 that is your favorite thing you couldn't live without?
Oh. I'll tell you, I don't buy a whole lot of stuff, but it wasn't this year. Last year, I bought a heating pad. And oh my God, it's a nice heating pad. It's not the junk heating pad that I used forever and ever and ever. And I'm staring at it right now. I can see it because I use it all the time. My back still hurts. So I love this heating pad. I sit on it all the time. My kids know. They're like, Mommy, you need to sit down. Yes, I do.
Well, I hope that allows you some healing. That is it, lower back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lower back. That lower back, you know, it's a little tender. And what I've discovered in lower back issues, I don't have lower back issues, but I have so many clients around me that have, is that energy of feeling supported, not necessarily spiritually, but sometimes, but physically as well. That's a big foundation of that lower back stuff. For all you that have lower back issues, that feeling supported and allowing support in, which isn't always easy, especially for empaths.
Yeah.
Especially for empaths. Okay. And you just shared the quote that you love. So why don't you share that again? Because I was going to ask you, what is your favorite quote?
Oh, what did I just say? To heal the world, start with yourself.
Yes. Yes. That's a great one. That's a great one. Beautiful. Do you have a favorite author or teacher that when you stepped onto this path, that once you kind of started reading some of their stuff, it really just things started clicking? I mean, I know discovering the word empath did, but do you have an author that you love or a speaker or a teacher?
You know, I think I read everything from everyone. Yes, I did. I was, because, you know, I had just had a baby. So I sat there in the middle of the night while I was feeding the baby. Mm-hmm. And I read everything.
Yeah.
So you were like
a sponge.
I was.
Yeah. And I think that's really, really common. I've seen that, you know, I've been teaching for 20 years in this field now. And when people first, like when it clicks and people first start getting it, they're like, I just take all of it in. Anything I can grab, it just feels like I'm just hungry for it.
I bought books. I downloaded articles. I did it all.
Yeah.
I did everything.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night. So, you know, I soaked it in real well.
Right, right. Well, you got it through osmosis then at least, right? Because it came in one way or the other.
Did
you have a favorite? Is there a favorite book that you reference or that you use or that you fall back on a lot or...
I think that the Empath Survival Guide, it was one of the first that I read. I think that was very helpful.
Mm. Okay, good. Well, there's another reference for all of you if you're interested.
Judith Orloff, the Empath Survival
Guide. Yeah, Judith Orloff. I saw her teach, and I actually think we spoke at an event together a long time ago, 10, 15 years ago. And I think she still does a lot of empath work, right? Isn't that kind of her main focus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So that's such powerful work because we really need the support for sure. Yeah. For sure. Okay. If you were to leave a message with the audience, Alicia, of something that you would want to remind them of, what would that be?
Oh my gosh. You can do it. You can do this. You can accept who you are. You can love yourself unconditionally. That's another big one for me. Love is kind of my theme. And I want everybody to know that you can love yourself unconditionally. You can create healthy boundaries. You can embrace your gifts. You can find your tribe. Mm-hmm. You can do it. And I think, you know, if I did it, anybody can do it. And I think you can do it.
And you can get out of the relationships or out of the friendships or out of the marriages or out of whatever it is that is not serving you and that you're not serving also. Because sometimes we're not serving the situation any more than they're serving us.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street.
It is a two-way street. And we all have accountability and responsibility on the street. So we just got to clean up our side of it. Absolutely. Well, thank you, my friends, so much. Again, you guys, if you want to go check out the book, it is, I'm looking for the title again.
I have it.
Oh, yeah. Show us.
I never my book.
Awesome. A how-to guide for the beginner empath. All right. It looks like Mary Bingham just ordered it. So that's fantastic. Thank you, Mary, for her son who struggles as an empath. So yeah, a lot of the kids, guys, a lot of the, and I know, Mary, your son isn't a kid, but a lot of the kids, they really struggle and they don't have the parents that have the understanding. So hopefully they have the grandparents, if they don't, to be able to explain what that is. So they know that it's not the weight of the world that's on their shoulders. We have to learn how to shift it differently.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Alicia. I appreciate you being with me. Thank you to all of you that were watching. I hope you enjoyed that and understand a little bit more about what an empath is. You can get a hold of Alicia by grabbing her book or going to her website, beginnerempath.com or healinglightempath.com, either one of those. Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydawnjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.